So give my brother Richard your time.
Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. How everybody doing? Okay, man, that's good. He, Donnie kind of took away from the beginning how everybody was to go around and speak on a topic. And it's basically a testimony, but it's still also for our learning. Because any testimony or anything that's been said can help one another. That's what we're for. That's what we do. We go through things, and when we talk about it, that we overcome that certain thing, it might help somebody that might be going through it at that time. And they would think, wow, if he made it, I could make it too. But my topic was, I was going to ask everybody to speak on was, why did I do it? Think about it. Why did I do it? First of all, I just want to do a little word of prayer real quick. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to stand before my brother and sister to give a testimony and to encourage your word. Father, I decrease that you may increase in my life. I thank you, and I just hope that somebody receive this, Lord, by your doing, not by me, but you. And I thank you, and I love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
There's been a lot of times that a few times I have preached the word, and it's not that I'm no more better than anybody. You know, I'm only able to do this here by the grace of God. Because if I start talking about me, Richard Charlton, every one of y'all be leaving out the door from what I've went through and the things I've done in life. But think about that. Why did I do it? Why did I do it? Now, I'm talking about me too, but I want y'all to apply that to your life. Why did I do it? And when I say I'm talking about me, and when I say men, women, y'all included too. So nobody's excluded here. But as a child, you know, I growed up in a family of seven, same mom and dad, all seven of us. We done crazy things when I was little. I was young, threw rocks at, you know, maybe cars or things that I'm not supposed to throw cars to. You know, just doing little kid stuff, pulling girls' hair that you might like. She don't like you, but you like her. That ain't gonna make her like you by pulling her hair. Yeah. That's just the attitude that I had at a young age. Starting fights, you know, just doing all kind of little crazy things. And we understand, we all growed up probably doing the same things, you know, whatsoever. But it was fun. At that time, it was fun. You know, kids running around having fun, just doing bizarre things. I lived that life. As I grew up, getting kicked out of school. Amen. Don't get quiet now. Getting kicked out of school, smoking cigarettes, whatsoever, woo-woo-woo, wanting to impress somebody, looking good, want to fit in. That's what we did in high school coming up, you know. But it wasn't really no trouble at that time. It was just self-infliction, doing things that I didn't know was going to hurt me in the long run, doing all these things, trying to fit in, doing this, doing that. You know, it wasn't no trouble. I was only inflicting myself. And we can relate to that. But when I became a man, the Bible said that when we was a child, we spake like a child, we think like a child, we act like a child. But when we become a man, we put those childish things away. We don't put them away. We just doing it in adult form now. Amen. We start doing things now on an adult level. It's just stupid, still stupid things. Stupid things that we do, we don't do it as a child no more. Now we do it as adult. We think we might be slick. We think we might be fooling somebody. You know, so I kind of continue on this path in my life, not knowing that I'm building up troubles in my life. At the age of 18 years old, I was influenced to stick a pistol in a man's face to try to rob him. I was working at the time, but yet that influence, that lifestyle I was living, the people I was hanging around with, when I stuck the pistol in this man's face, he was an undercover police. And I got sent to prison. At the age of 18 years old, I got sent to Michigan City Prison, 20 years. I'd done all my 20th birthdays in prison. Once again, when I became a man, I just started doing little grown-up things now, getting myself caught up. trying to fit in. And then I ask myself, why did I do it? I didn't have no answer. Couldn't nobody, I didn't know who to ask. But that was that question. Why did I do it? In Romans, I'm going to read a few scriptures too that helps backs me up here, because I feel like that I'm in this world by myself. When I ask myself that, the things I went through, Romans 7:15 says, for that which I do, I allow not. I understand not why I was doing the things that I was doing. I didn't understand why I was doing them. I thought I did, trying to fit in, be like the crowd, everybody. But and then that I want to do, I don't do it. You know, I want to be able to get in the airplane and fly. I want to be able to go in different other countries where people talk about how they go to other countries and visit people and doing fun things. These are things that I want to do, but these are things that I'm not doing. I'm still stuck up on the stupid things that I'm doing as a man. Visit other countries, being successful in life, having my own home, you know, a nice job, being able to just have money in your pocket to go places and do what you want to do. These things I was not doing, and I didn't understand. But then the word of God says, but that I, in verse 15, the rest of it says, but that I hate, that I do. And it's not making sense here. The things that I hate to do, this is what I'm doing. Corrupting my own body, smoking, drinking, running around, getting in fights, getting my head busted open. I don't want to hurt myself. I don't want to keep causing conflict upon myself. But these are things that I'm doing. The things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I'm doing, I don't understand why. Stealing, hurting people, hurting family members. These are things I hate. I don't want to do these things. But that's what I'm doing. That's what I was doing. Have you ever done something, and then when you got by yourself, maybe in your bed under the covers, and you think, hey, why did I do it? Did you ever do it? Why did I do it? That feeling inside, you know, it doesn't feel good when I got by myself, when I wasn't nobody else around. And then when I think about that thing that I did, it just runs through my body, makes me shake. I mean, I know we've all been there. Why did I do it? Over and over and over. Continually doing these things that caused me to feel this way. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand why. But this is what was going on. It didn't feel good. So why? Romans 7:17 says, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Wow. So we're talking about sin now. When you think about sin that's within you, the acronyms of sin, S-I-N, Satan is near. Wow. I know the enemy's only here for three reasons: to kill, steal, and destroy lives. And then this is what's going on in my life now. I'm destroying my own life. I'm hurting other people. I can't make friends because everywhere I go, I'm trying to do something stupid or trying to gain something out of somebody. Sin is a breaking of the law. Okay, I'm saying, wow, okay, I know this is what I'm doing. I'm breaking this law, you know. Why am I breaking this law? The flesh is carnal. The law is spiritual. When we talk about these two different spiritual, carnal, the flesh like to be pleased. See, amen. If it comes to getting high, if it comes to drinking, if it comes to sex, if it comes to whatever it might be that makes you feel good, that's pleasing of this flesh. And this is what I was doing. I was pleasing my flesh. Thought I was doing something slick. Thought I was getting by. Thought I was doing the right type of thing. But here, doing those constant things and doing the things that's stupid and getting me in trouble, I try to find what is good. The word of God said to find what's good. It says in Romans 7 and 18, it says, "For I know that in me, that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me." I mean, I want to do the good things. That's what's in us. Amen. We want to do good things, but that it says that for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now I'm saying this, it's hard for me to try to start doing good things when I'm constantly doing bad things. You know, you can't have your cake and eat it too. So I'm asking myself, man, this good thing that's in me, how come I can't find it? How come I keep doing the stupid things that I'm doing? Why am I keep doing it? Why? There's nobody to answer. I have nobody to turn to. Paul wrote this passage here. Is me and Paul the only one that goes through this? I mean, can anybody else relate to what I'm talking about? Because the things that I know, the things that I'm doing, I don't understand why. But the things that I want to do, I can't do because I'm doing something contrary to doing good. And then the things that I know is supposed to be doing good, I can't even find it. I'm like, wow, am I going through this by myself? Here at the age of 18 years old, my 20th birthday is in prison. That's when a man grows up. A woman grows up and go out, travel, meet people. You legal to drink. You're able to go out and do things. I had none of that. When I got out, it was like they dropped me out the airplane. Gone. I was on my own trying to make it. It didn't work out for me. It worked out for a minute. 9 years later, I goes back to prison again. In between that time, though, I was doing a lot of stupid things. As I became a man, I thought I was doing right, but I was only hindering myself, hurting myself and other people. So I went back after 9 years. When I went back to prison, I got into the Word of God, started feeling good, something I've never felt before inside. Things, when I read the Bible, the Word of God was talking to me, telling me things that nobody had told me. I had Big Brother, but he didn't take time out to sit down and talk to me. I had a dad, but we never threw a ball, went out and done anything together before. I was never taught these things. But the Word of God talked to me, he spoke to me, and he told me things that made me feel good and how I could make it. So I studied the Word of God. I done correspondences courses. I got over almost 1,000 certificates in Bible correspondences courses. And at the time I was doing them, I didn't know why. It was just feeling good to me, and I liked it. But when I got out, I went to church, and the pastor at church said, Richard, she looked at all my certificates. She said, "These are the same certificates we provide for in our seminary school." She said, "You can graduate." I'm like, "What?" She said, "You can get an associate's degree in biblical studies." I'm like, "Wow, I never thought that I would ever graduate in anything." But surely to God, he blessed me to put on a cap and gown and walked across there and receive that certificate, associate's degree in biblical studies. A couple of years later, I end up going to a church, and Wings of Deliverance, Bishop Clark. This man prophesied over my life, though. I went there, and he come out preaching. I mean, they come out with their singing, their announcements and everything, and I'm sitting up in the front row seat. I went straight up the aisle, the front aisle, and I sat down, bang. And they did their announcements. And they come out with their singing, you know, woo, 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 feeling good. The preacher come out, Bishop Clark, he come out, start preaching. He gets off into his preaching. He's preaching good. He's a good man. I don't know if any of y'all know him, but he's preaching, and he got into the middle of his sermon. Now, remember, I'm just out of prison now. It ain't even a full year I'm out of prison. He preaching right in the middle of his sermon. Boy, you're going to be a preacher. And went right back into his sermon. I'm looking at him like, yeah, right. You don't know who you're talking to, man. Wild as I am, all the things that I've done, and you talking about I'm going to be a preacher? But see, he prophesied over my life. God prophesies over all of our lives. Some people can say things that prophesied in your life that you might not believe it. Some things can happen. You can believe it. You can receive a voice within yourself. Just imagine Moses, for an example. Now let's go to Abraham. God told Abraham, said, son, you're going to be a father of many nations. He said, you see all them stars? He said, can you count them? He said, Lord, you know I can't count all them stars. He said, that's how many of your descendants are going to be. Can you imagine someone telling you something? You hear the voice of God telling you that you're going to be a father of many, many, many nations. Noah, for an example, he told Noah, back in those days, it didn't rain. The moisture from the ground came, it came from the ground, the water, the grounds whatsoever. And God told him, said, Noah, build an ark. It's going to rain. Now, let's translate that. What's your name?
Marcus.
Marcus. Go get an Everton Scott. What would you think? What is that? What is that? Something that you've never heard before. He said, it's going to rain. He had never heard of it before. When that man looked at me and said, you're going to be a preacher, I never thought it. Never thought I could be that man that he prophesied in my life. A year later, about a year or two later, I was with Bishop Eldridge, Christ Church of Faith. And 8 months that I was up under him, he ordained me as a minister. He told me, he said, Minister Richard, he said, the devil is always attacking us. But being that you are ordained now, he said he's going to attack you 3 times more. I heard what he said, but I didn't understand it. Yes, he did. The devil attacked me 3 times more, man. I had my own business. I had my own truck. I was living good. I was happy. I had a relationship going with my lady friend. We was talking about getting together and marrying. But the devil did attack. He attacked hard. And when I made the mistake that I did, I went straight down. Lost my truck. My girl left. I was in a vacant house last year. Thanksgiving, Christmas, my birthday, January the 4th, and New Year's. I was in a vacant house by myself, smoking, drugs, ready to die. I had a mission statement. I'm this close to death, and I don't care much about living. But I knew God was going to deliver me. I didn't know how, but I knew he was going to deliver me. So one day I was in a car. I was on the run for probably like 6 months. I was in a car with this girl. We was going to get some drugs. And I'm telling her, don't be speeding. I don't feel like running from no police. Slow down. Sure enough, police was sitting there. She flew past them. Whoo, here they come. They pulled us over. I jumped out the car and ran. They chased me down. They caught me and locked me up. And when they locked me up, I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Because I was ready to go. I felt so ashamed being a man of God, teaching karate. I teach karate to children out in the parks. I didn't have a building, so I take them out to the parks, teach them karate. I'm a black belt in karate, taekwondo. I can teach very well. I was teaching in church, preaching. I felt so bad. And up there in that room, I asked myself, why did I do it? Why did I do it? I was ready to go. I was ready to do it. I had a 32 pistol, 32, old one. I had one bullet. While I was holding on to this, I don't know why, but I took that one bullet. I'm sitting in my rocking chair. I had a rocking chair. It was nice looking up there. It was just cold. I had a little heater, but I was comfortable. I had nowhere else to go. I'm sitting in my rocking chair. I grabbed a pistol. I grabbed that one bullet, and I stuck it in there, right? I said, yeah. If when I put it in there right here, I said, if I got, you know, it's five clicks. I said, if I put it right here, I got so many times to pull the trigger before it fires. And I'm turning it around to look at where the bullet is in front of the gun. But glory to God, when I did that final click, that barrel was facing like that, and it fired. I almost shot myself in the head. I threw that gun away. I got rid of that. I was so scared because I was that close to death and didn't care much about living. So once I did, once I got locked up, God started working in my life. If there's a list of all the guys that I have helped, ministered to, talked to from my 3 years in prison, 24 years out of three sentences, there's a list of the men that I was able to help in the Word of God, you'd be amazed. It surprises me because every time I'm inside the prison, they're right there to help. All the studying I've done back in the days, I was able to give to them, to help them, to lead them on the straight path. And they come up and shake my hand and thank me, and I give glory to God. But when I get out, it was hard to communicate with people. I've never sat in a group of people and talked about my lifestyle. I've never sat in front of a person, a psychic or anybody, and tell them about my lifestyle. So when I come home from prisons, I'm out here by myself. But every time I get locked up, I'm there to help people, encourage people. But when I'm out here, I had nobody. So I thank God that they sent me to this here. This is the first time I ever come to a gathering like this here. That's why I asked down to let me, you know, give a testimony and to help it all I can and to help anybody that need it. But closing out on my testimonial here, so we understand now that sin, Satan is near. Anytime you get ready to say something, do something, or react to anything, you hear two voices. Don't do that, the Holy Spirit. That's not the right thing to do. Go ahead and do it. Don't nobody care. Ain't nobody going to know. Go ahead and do it. Okay, I'm going to do it. Why did I do it? For another example, have you ever been driving your car or doing anything and something say, turn this way? I'm going to turn this way. Wow, I'm glad I turned this way because look what I'd have got into if I hadn't. Or on the flip side, turn this way. I ain't going to turn it away. I'm going to go this way. Oh, if I just listened to my first thought, this wouldn't have happened. So Satan is near. In verse 19, it says, for the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Amen. The good that I know I'm supposed to do, that I don't do, but the evil that I know I'm not supposed to do, that's what I do. Why do I do it? Why? Who is the father of sin? Satan. He's the father of sin. He doesn't like nothing. He don't even like himself. And once again, he's only here for three reasons: to kill, steal, and destroy lives. These two spirits, good and evil, exist in our life every day, all day, any time of the day. And we have to choose who we're going to serve, who we're going to listen to. We're going to listen to one, or we're going to listen to the other. I've been through it so many times, so many times. So verse 20 says, for if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. It dwells in us. It's a nature. We was born up under sin. When we decide to do anything, man, the enemy doesn't want us to accomplish anything in life. He didn't want me to do nothing in life. He don't want me to teach. He don't want me to preach. He didn't want me to steal. He didn't want me to sell dope. He didn't want me to. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Feed my sheep. Man, I can't do that. All the stuff I've been through, people ain't going to listen to me. He said, Richard, it ain't about you. Come on. It's about him. Come on. Glorifying him. Telling the people where I brought you from. He brought me from a mighty long ways. And I'm so happy in my life today now. I don't have nothing. I got six beautiful children. I take care of my mom. She's 86 years old, both feet amputated. I got 36 grandbabies. Outside of that, I don't have nothing. I don't have a car. I don't have a house. I don't have a banking account. I've never been to the store and went and shopping and come up off of a, pull clothes off the rack and say, man, this look good. Yeah, I'm going to buy this here. I've never done none of those things. I never paid a bill. I'm 59 years old. I don't have nothing. But I thank God for my life today now. The man that I am today now, I am so happy inside. I have no problems. I have no worries. I have no difficulties. I have no hang-ups. I've never been shot, never been stabbed, no broken bone, no major operation, no bad body parts. Glory to God. I give it to him. But I could be walking down the street. Here's a man in a crane tearing down the house. That's a man. He takes care of his family. He got a job. That's a man. You ain't nobody. You ain't got nothing. You can't even buy your children food on the table whatsoever. The enemy talking to me. And it bothers me so much. But when those things happen, I have to look to the Lord. I have to look to the Lord. My ex-wife, we would go out and eat at a dinner. And the eggs is kind of messed up. She had called to make a big old ruckus. You know how you women are when it's not right. She'd make up a big old ruckus, and here come the manager. He walks up, got his tie on and everything, and he's sitting there listening to her talking. I'm looking at him. Look at him. That's a man. He takes care of his family. He got a job. That's a man. You ain't nobody. You a three-time loser. You don't have nothing. Man, that hurts. That hurts inside. I mean, that hurts. It goes on constantly. But I thank God for my life. So all I can do is just continually glorify God and to remember where he brought me from and to continually stay strong and to share what he put on my heart with brothers and sisters so that I may be able to encourage y'all to continually give God praise for your life. Sometimes it might not seem like he's there, or sometimes it might feel like that he's not doing nothing for you, but he is. He's always working. He's always a blessing God. He's a forgiving God. I don't care what you've done in life. So now when people ask me, why did you do it? I say, because it's pleasing to God. So if they ask you, they say, why did you do it? Why did you do it? So I can help others. If a person asks me, why did you do it? Because it's pleasing to my Lord and Savior, and I thank him for my life. And I thank him for each and every one of you, and I hope somebody gained a thought. Amen.
Hold up a minute. He told somebody else's story in here, amen? Did you hear me? Amen? You know, each and every one of us has gone through the exact same thing he is. And one of the things is we're going to pray for Richard, but we're going to pray for all of us. But one of the things God spoke to me over there to remember that we really need to understand is this. When an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert seeking rest, but it finds none. Then it says, I will return to the person I came from. He just told his story. Same story I got, same story Toby's got, same story we, those in here especially, we know. So it returns and finds its former home, listen to this, empty, swept, and in order. We can show community corrections, we can show probation, we can show our halfway house, everybody, look at me, but family, this is what we're missing.
Yes.
We're empty.
Yes.
We're empty on the inside, and we're really not giving Jesus Christ what he owed, what he gave us, and that's his everything.
Amen.
He died for us on that cross.
Amen. Thank you.
Some of us brothers that were saved from a penitentiary life, as my brother and I and several others and sisters in this room, we know the ticket. Pam will tell you, are you full of Jesus? She's back there nodding. She's waking up. But the point is, then that spirit, if you're empty, will go out and find seven other spirits far worse than that first one, and they all move back in.
Yes.
Did you hear how he kept going back? So when you kick the one demon out, and you don't fill yourself with the presence of Jesus Christ, look out.
Six more of them.
Look out. Yes. Because the party just started and you're it. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen. Amen.